This morning's reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 35. Jesus presented in the temple. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord. A pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. He was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marvelled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too."
Great to be here, and great welcome. Well, very big welcome to those joining us on the live stream this morning. Perhaps you'd like to keep your Bible open at Luke 2. If you're able to, it's page 1028 in the church Bibles. So let me pray for us. Father God, we thank you for bringing us together today. We thank you for your word, and we pray that you would help us to ponder the things that we hear this morning in our hearts as we seek to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder what bittersweet moments you might have had in your life. Those moments when joy and pleasure are mingled with sadness or regrets. You find that sadness and happiness are both there in your reaction to the same event. For example, it might be that you are bursting for retirement, you can't wait, but running alongside that is some anxiety about what you'll do next, or where your value is, or what your contribution to the world is going to be. The last nearly 2 years, I suspect, have been full of bittersweet moments for many of us. When I was able to start visiting my dad in his care home again, there was joy and relief, but also that sense of time that had been lost that I wouldn't get back. Perhaps this Christmas will indeed be bittersweet, a chance we pray to be with people, unlike last year for many of us, but also a realization that COVID is not over, and maybe there will still be faces missing around your table. If you're a parent, I'm pretty sure you've experienced bittersweet moments, the bittersweetness of parenting. You're perhaps longing for your children to start school, but then you also realize it signifies the end of the preschool years. Or later on, it's so exciting to see your children spreading their wings, leaving home. It's what you want for them. But you also know that life will never be the same again, and there's that whole adjustment of roles and responsibilities as relationships change. If you've had any such moments where happiness and sadness and pain mingle together, you're in good company with Mary this morning. From last week, when Mary learned that she was to have a baby, we've rolled on 10 months in our reading. Amazing months for Mary, exciting, joyful, life perhaps hadn't progressed as she'd planned, a baby before her marriage, but the support of a good man, the safe arrival of that baby, about whom so much had been said, the voice of an angel, the words of Mary's relative Elizabeth, who herself was expecting another miraculous baby. And as Jackie said last week, the mystery of the divine entering the dust, the heavenly becoming part of humanity, the extraordinary entering the ordinary. So it's no wonder that we read on two occasions in Luke 2 that Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. We read it once after the shepherds had visited, and again at the end of the chapter when Jesus is 12. There was so much to ponder and to treasure. This son of hers is described as the Son of God, the Messiah, a king who will reign forever, the Lord. All this is good news of great joy that Mary herself rejoices in as she bursts out in praise. But the gift of this son to Mary was perhaps always a bittersweet gift. From day one, her pregnancy could have led to her death. Yet she was confident of God's hand on her life. And as Luke continues to fill in the details of our reading today, the colours he chooses could have been colours of royalty and future glory and majesty and power, but they are in fact somber and darker colours, starting to reveal that this is going to be a different sort of kingdom, and so bittersweet for Mary. In our passage today, Jesus is now 6 weeks old. Joseph and Mary are faithful, devout Jews, and they go up to Jerusalem, about 6 miles from Bethlehem, in obedience to the law of Moses. They go for two things. As their firstborn son, the law required them to present Jesus to the Lord and to dedicate him into God's service. Secondly, they were required to offer a sacrifice as a purification ritual for Mary, following childbirth. They offer, we read, a pair of doves or young pigeons, which was the offering of a poorer family. But we see that Jesus came from a family that sought to honour God. And for the Jewish way of life, we see that approaching God in worship was a serious matter that required thought and preparation. And here in the temple, they meet Simeon, a devout man in his old age, someone who has walked with God all his life and on whom the Holy Spirit rested. He lives his life in the promises of God, and he's waiting for God to comfort Israel, as the prophet Isaiah had foretold. He lives in patient hope for a day when Israel will no longer experience suffering as a way of life, but be comforted with the arrival of the Messiah. And God has promised Simeon that he would not die before he has seen this happen. That day, the Holy Spirit guides him into the temple courts where he meets Mary and Joseph and Jesus. And he knows this is it. And he utters those words of prophecy as he holds the baby Jesus in his arms. And they are bittersweet words of prophecy. In verses 29 to 32, Simeon praises God. His song of praise is about God having done as he had promised to Simeon. Simeon's part has been played. He's seen the Messiah, and he's ready to die in peace. He declares that in Jesus, he has seen God's salvation with his own eyes. Jesus, this baby, is salvation, is the one through whom salvation will come. Interesting that Simeon is standing in the temple, the nation's most sacred place, declaring that salvation does not come from the temple and all its expectations and rituals and worship, but is in this baby. Rescue, deliverance, freedom, light, revelation, and glory, all in this baby. And this salvation to be found in Jesus is for everyone. It's in the sight of all nations, a universal offer. Here Simeon astonishingly leaves behind the Jewish privilege. Salvation is for all peoples, a light that will be revealed to the Gentiles and glory for Israel. This is blessing for Jew and Gentile, good news for the whole world. Simeon saw Jesus as deliverance, light and glory for the Jewish nation, but also for all people who will receive him, you and me included. This is the good news that the angels spoke of to the shepherds. In Simeon's words, there are Old Testament echoes. There's the promise to Abraham that all peoples on earth would be blessed through his offspring. And of Isaiah, where nations will come to the light of God's glory. Jesus' salvation serves Jews and Gentiles, a light for all, a light that reveals salvation to the Gentiles, and a light that brings glory to the people of Israel. Jesus is the promised one. Mary and Joseph can only marvel at what Simeon has to say about Jesus. As his parents, this talk of the bigger picture and bigger plans for Jesus' life must have been mind-blowing. Another reminder, if they needed it, that this is no ordinary baby. Their joy, their sense of privilege, their pride. God's servants are still speaking into Jesus' life with prophetic promises of what he will be. The message for us is that whether or not you fully know it or accept it, to see Jesus, this babe of Bethlehem, is to see salvation prepared for us by God, a light that reveals salvation to us. To see Jesus is to see God and his way revealed. It's there in John 1 that we sang of. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. A light that shines in the darkness. A light that gives light to everyone. Acts 4 says that salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to humans by which we must be saved. Look again this year at Jesus. Salvation will not come through being religious, trying to work your own way into God's good books, trying to be a better person or sorting out your own rescue, trying to feel less guilty or having fewer regrets, trying to change your life so that you're happier, healthier, and wealthier. Our salvation is to be found in this baby. He is all we need. He is the light for our dark world and the darkness of our lives. And if you're someone who does depend on Jesus for your salvation, then you are to be that light to others. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. That the hope that Jesus brings might be seen in us as we reveal him to others through our words, through our love and our actions. If you pray each day, Lord, is there someone today you want me to connect with, to bring your light to? You will be amazed how God will answer that prayer and use you. Simeon said to the Lord, my own eyes have seen your salvation. What often makes me marvel at babies is that in their tiny bodies is all packaged up, all that they need, if all is well and given the right nurturing, for them to grow and change and learn to walk and talk and become an independent human being. That was all there in Jesus, with more besides, for he is the author of salvation. Simeon saw it when he was 6 weeks old. Simeon is at peace. He He knows that the timing of his life and death are in God's hands. Now that he has seen and known Jesus, other parts of his life, the traumas and the joys, are put in perspective. He has been waiting. He is content. Mary and Joseph marvel at what he has to say. But his prophecy becomes bittersweet, as Simeon also prophesies great pain. In verses 33 to 35, as he held the baby Jesus in his arms, Simeon sensed that the salvation, the light, the revelation, and the glory would not be achieved without suffering. He had spoken words that made them marvel. He blessed the family. And now in words that send a chill down your spine, he warns Mary of what is to come. Although the offer of salvation is there for all, it will not be received or welcomed by everyone. It's offered to all, but each person has to consider it for themselves. And Simeon warns that Jesus will cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and he is a sign that will be spoken against. There will be those who will speak against this sign of God's love that's been offered to them, those who cannot accept that salvation is only achieved by the way of the cross. Jesus will be a figure who divides. We see that in his life and ministry. People have to make up their minds about him. Religious leaders reject him. He himself talks of dividing families. We see the rejection of the apostles' early preaching. At the end of Acts, some have been convinced by Paul, others would not believe. We see this today in our culture. It's much easier to talk of God or spirituality or one's journey of faith, but far more challenging for the one who speaks and the one who hears is to use the name of Jesus. When we began the Talking Jesus course, which feels like eternity ago, it was cut short by the first lockdown. The challenge was to speak of Jesus rather than skirt around the edges with other phrases. And often we find then and now that talk of Jesus can challenge and divide. He reveals where people stand in relation to God. He reveals the thoughts of people's hearts. The good news of salvation, says Simeon, will be accepted by some but rejected by others. We all need to work out our response to Jesus. And at the moment when he sees fulfillment of old promises, Simeon senses the suffering ahead, the shadow of the cross, even at this time. The opposition Jesus produces and the rejection he experiences will be a source of pain for Mary. A source will pierce your own soul too, says Simeon. She will experience pain during her son's ministry. Her own family is divided about him, with Jesus' brothers not all on board. She herself sees the division in Israel over her son's message. Nothing can be done to avoid the pain which culminates in the cross. Around the events of the cross, all those characters, the disciples, the high priest, the soldiers, the thoughts of the hearts of many were revealed. But Mary takes part fully in the event of the cross. She doesn't run away. We know from John that she was there. Her faithful presence at the foot of the cross, courageous love, even as a sword pierced her own soul. She had no power to change what was happening, but she chose to remain there and witness the suffering of her son until he died. Simeon praises God for Jesus and all that he will do, but he senses that the Messiah's path will be hard. Why is it that we all too often expect an easy life as Jesus' followers when there is this bittersweet prophecy for Mary. No wonder Mary pondered all these things in her heart. There was a lot to think about. Salvation could now be seen, but yet the warning of the sword and the sadness. A message Mary might also have seen in the gift of myrrh from the wise man used in burial, and in the names for the Messiah in ancient scripture, Prince of Peace, God with us, but also Man of Sorrows. So I'd urge you to reread Luke 1 and 2 this week as you prepare for Christmas. Most of us will probably find someone there we can identify with. An older couple surprised to have a baby at all. A young girl surprised to have a baby so soon. A husband keeping faith with her. Shepherds, just ordinary folk going about their usual business. And Simeon and then Anna, both nearing the end of their lives, still walking with God, being used by him, worshipping God, praying for and waiting for God's salvation. Whatever age or stage of life you are at, no matter who you are, the story of Jesus can become your story. And as it does so, he calls you to play your part in his plan. So ponder these things alongside Mary this week. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for the example of Mary, how she walked with you, obeyed you. We thank you for the joy that she knew and for the pain that she was willing to bear. Lord, help us this Christmas time to ponder these things and to choose to walk with you. Amen.